Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad to have you this week. As we continue in our study of the Gospels, we're approaching the end, actually, of our study of the Gospels. And my plan is to go on right into the book of Acts and talk about the wonderful events in the early church and how significant they are, and the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul and his life. But we're still in the Gospels, and we just finished Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Jesus talking about the sign, singular, of his return. And we saw that the sign is the setting up of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in a wing of the temple, the new third Jewish temple, which is yet to be rebuilt on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, but it will be rebuilt. If you missed any of that, I hope you'll go back and listen to those messages and catch up with us. But we're moving on now past these three chapters and into the events of the crucifixion, the Last Supper and the crucifixion, which ends this week, 7 days that Jesus now will be in Jerusalem between the triumphal entry and the resurrection. So, before we dig in, shall we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to study the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, and then to apply to our life. Father, bless our study of the Word of God today, your Word, and use it in our hearts and lives, we pray, to teach us what is right, what is true, and what is wrong and false in the things that are circulating in our world, about the afterlife and about being ready for it. So we look to you, the Holy Spirit, to empower your word to our hearts, illuminate our hearts and minds, anoint me as I teach the word, Lord, please. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen and amen. Oh, okay, now, in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right after the Lord Jesus tells us about the sign of his return, the Gospels move on into the events of the Passover and the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane and the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the plotting of the Jewish leaders against him to kill him, and the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. Wow, lot to do ahead of us. But Matthew's gospel, before it goes on to mimic Mark and Luke in telling us about these events, Matthew's Gospel in Matthew chapter 25 records three more parables / teachings that the Lord Jesus gives that relate to the end of the age, which he's been talking about in Matthew 24. This, of course, being Matthew chapter 25. And these three things are the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and the teaching about the sheep and the goats and the separation of them at the end of the age when the Lord returns. So we're going to go ahead for the next 3 weeks and cover these three parables/teachings that add to the explanation that the Lord has given us about his coming and about the end of the age and about the afterlife. Okay, and then all of the Gospels will converge on the events of the Passover and the Last Supper. You with me? Now, let's look, Matthew chapter 25, at the first of these three, which is the parable of the 10 virgins. All right, let's read it. We'll put it on the screen. New King James Version of the Bible. The whole Bible. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. I kind of surprised you there, didn't I? Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, extra oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So here we have 10 maidens going out to wait for the groom to show up for this wedding. And they took lanterns, oil burning lanterns. But some of them took extra oil, and some of them only took the oil that was already in the lantern, which was going to burn out and not last long enough. So that's the setting up of the parable, okay? And then they fell asleep while the groom delayed. Now let's see if we can identify who the people are in the parable. Who do you think the groom is? Well, he's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And who do you think the virgins are? Well, they're people like you and me. And the Bible says that the groom delayed his coming, just as Jesus done for 2,000 years. Okay, we got all the players here. Now, let's pick up at verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." So you understand what happened here. They jumped up to meet the bridegroom. The foolish virgins realized that they didn't have enough oil, that what was just in their lamps wasn't going to be sufficient, and they hadn't brought any extra oil, so they tried to buy some from the 5 wise virgins who said, "No, then we might not have enough. I mean, we love you, but we're not going to run out of oil for you. So, they said, "Go buy some more." I don't know what oil shops were open in the middle of the night, but hey, you can't make a parable walk on all fours, so don't worry about that. And while they went to buy, the foolish virgins went to buy more oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I do not know you." Now that's the end of the parable. He wouldn't open the door for them. The door had been shut. The wise virgins entered in. because they were ready. They were ready. And the foolish virgins who weren't ready, by the time they came, the door had been shut. No man could open it. No person could open it. And the foolish virgin said, "Hello, Lord, let us in." And he said, "I'm sorry, I don't know you." This reminds us of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, beginning at verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day," the day he returns, "'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The key point is, Jesus said, "I never knew you." And here in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, "I do not know you." Very reminiscent of one another, these two passages. Then Jesus says at the end, after the parable itself is over, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Watch, be on the alert. Make sure you are, what did the verse say here? The virgins who were ready. Make sure you are ready whenever he comes. Now, the theme of the parable is this, indeed, that we need to be ready when the Lord comes. We need to be ready when the Lord comes. And we talked about that a little bit a week ago, talking about living a life of personal holiness. But this parable is talking about salvation, because some were let in and the others were kept outside of the door. This is exactly what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes back. He's going to take those who are ready because they've trusted Christ. And no matter when he comes, they've got plenty of oil, because they have the plan of salvation and the redemption of Christ on their side and in their lamps and in their jars. And then we have those who are not ready, which means they haven't trusted Christ and they haven't got the redemption that Jesus bought for us on the cross and the plan of salvation in their lantern and in their extra vial. And so, therefore, they're not ready. And so this parable is primarily talking about being ready when it comes to being saved, when it comes to being born again, when it comes to having the redemption of Christ true for your life, because you've trusted what he did for you on the cross. Okay? We got that, right? And I want to point one other thing out here that's so important. Would you notice, please, that the folks who were not ready, who were not saved, were given no time by the Lord to go get ready at that point? Would you notice that? The foolish virgins were not given a chance to go buy more oil and come back and still get into the wedding. If they weren't ready when the Lord came, they were shut out. Do you see that? When I was in seminary, I still got my notes, and I wrote this down. Also, when the Lord comes, this is the point, if you're not ready, it'll be too late to go get ready. This particularly applies to salvation through Christ. No time to go get ready. Same thing's true about going into the afterlife, before the Lord returns, dying, leaving here. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed under man and woman once to die, and after that the judgment. There's no time in there indicated that we get a chance to go, oh my goodness, what my friend was telling me about the Lord is right. Oh, I need time now to give my life, trust Christ. No. Death, and after that, judgment. One way or the other. No time to go get ready if you're not ready. As I said, if you're not ready, it's too late. Now, that's as far as we want to go in that parable, because we want to ask our most important question, and that is, you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. So what? You bet. And if you are ready, and you are saved, and you do know Christ, and you have availed yourself of the redemption he purchased on the cross for you, then when the Lord Jesus comes back, oh, baby, what do we say? How sweet it is to be going to spend eternity with the Lord, my friend Jackie Gleason. How sweet it is. But if you haven't, this is the point of the parable, that we need to be ready with oil in our jar, the oil of the redemption of Christ on our life. From our sins. Don't have that in your jar. The door shuts. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Now that's the overall point of the parable. So let me just say right now, if you've never trusted Christ as your real and personal Savior, oh, you need to do it. You need to fill that lamp in your jar up with his redemption, so that whenever the Lord comes, you're ready. You don't have to try to run and get ready, because the parable indicates there is no such time. You're either ready or you're not ready. You're either ready or it's too late. So let me urge you, if you're not sure you're saved and that you're ready, let me urge you to pray with me right now. And repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today because I want to be ready for your return, or ready to meet you when I enter eternity on the other side of the grave. And so right now, I give up everything else I've ever trusted, my good works, my religious activity, my trying to keep the Ten Commandments and be a nice person. I give all those up as the remedy for paying for my sins and the ticket to get into heaven. And instead, I trust 100% the death of Christ on the cross for me as my only payment for sin in the sight of a holy God, and as my only ticket into heaven. Lord Jesus, make me your child and give me eternal life in response to my trusting and believing in Jesus and what he did on the cross for me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I hope you prayed that prayer with me if you weren't sure you ever had. Now I want you, if you did pray that prayer, or even if you didn't, but you thought about it, to go to my website, Lon Solomon Ministries, and look under sermons and scroll down till you get to spiritual boot camp. Keep going, it's there. More sermons, more sermons, more sermons. It's down there. And listen and digest, if you have to listen two or three times, the information in that series, Spiritual Boot Camp. It's for new believers and older believers. Boot Camp, Spiritual Boot Camp. Now, for those of us who've already done that, I just want to say one other thing about this passage. And that is, I want to point out to you that the door was shut. The door was shut after the Lord Jesus went in with all of those who were saved, all five of those virgins who were ready, and the door was shut. And the other virgins were left standing outside. Now, this is the teaching of the Bible. The teaching of the Bible is that there's not only eternal life on the other side of the grave, but eternal damnation. And there are many religious groups that will say yes to eternal life, and the other people, there's no eternal damnation, they just don't get into heaven. Sorry, that's not what the Bible says. Some groups will teach that we all go in the grave and we just sleep, soul sleep. And that we're just asleep forever. No, I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible says. Some people believe we're just blown out like a candle. No, I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible teaches. Let me show you what the Bible teaches. Right at the end of this chapter, Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. But look at this. The people, and we're going to get to this third teaching in a couple of weeks, but the people who aren't followers of Christ, look what the Bible says. They go away into everlasting punishment. How about Luke chapter 16, the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, which is not a parable, I don't think. Jesus never calls it a parable. I think it's a true story. The Bible says that the rich man died and was buried. Now watch, verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Heaven is beautiful. Hell, tormented in fire. And not just that. Verse 26, Abraham says, besides this, between us in heaven and you in hell, there is a great gulf, a great chasm fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you and help you because they're compassionate about your situation, they cannot. Nor can those who want to come from there where you are pass to us. Not only is this a tormented place and a place of fire, it's a place of eternity. There's no escaping. There's no getting out. There's no second chance. How about 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? Look what he says in verse 7. That the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, verse 8, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 9. These people will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints. Everlasting destruction. And Matthew 23, verse 14. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you devour women's houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Verse 33. Sir, you serpents, you brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? My friends, I could keep going. Well, one more. Jude, the book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation, verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, that is the ones that followed Satan in his foul revolt, as Milton calls it, but left their own habitation, served in everlasting chains under darkness, for the judgment of that great day, the Lord's return, but not just the angels, watch. 7, and as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, they are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance, watch, of eternal fire. Friends, there is a hell, a real place, and real people really do go there. And they really do stay there for all of eternity. And they really do suffer torments there. Fire, outer darkness. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said several times in the Gospels in hell. And there really is no getting out of the lake of fire in hell ever. Ever. These are real things. Why am I telling you this? To depress you? No. To motivate you and me to share the gospel. To motivate you and me to tell our friends, neighbors, co-workers, and loved ones about Christ. Because hell is real, and all these things about it are real, and real people really do go there, and they really do never get out. This is horrible. It's like the gate over hell. Abandon all hope, ye who enter in here. Abandon all hope, ye who enter in here. Friends, tell people about the Lord Jesus. It's a little embarrassing sometimes. We can feel a little uncomfortable sometimes. We can have a little cotton ball in our throat sometimes. We can be a little sweaty under the armpits sometimes. We can get a little blood in our cheeks sometimes. I do that too. We all do that. But what spurs me to push through that and still share the Lord is when I think about what these people are going to face. And if they can see into heaven, as the story of Lazarus and the rich man may imply, gosh, I hope there won't be too many people in hell who say, you mean to tell me you knew about this and you didn't tell me? I sat at a desk next to you for 10 years. I lived next to you for 5 years. I was your roommate in college for 2 years. What? I'm your uncle. I was at Thanksgiving dinner with you for 25 years. Yeah, you'll pay a price for not for sharing down here. Yeah, you will. But that's better in my mind. Because it won't do us any permanent harm. The Lord will see to that. But that's better in my mind than for all of eternity seeing folks that I should have shared with, but I didn't share with. Because by then it's too late. So you're causing a lot of guilt, Lon, in me. Well, I know I'm causing a lot of guilt in me. But we should feel that guilt and that responsibility and that privilege of sharing Christ with people. Because hell is real. And real people really do get locked out of the marriage. The door really does get shut without a second chance, like the five foolish virgins. And real people really do go to hell, really, for all eternity. And let's live like we know that and we believe it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, teach us the truth today about heaven and hell, especially hell. And grant, Lord Jesus, that we are willing to push through our embarrassment and our uncomfortableness, stepping out of our comfort zone to share the Lord. Because we know what awaits people on the other side, and we know that once the door is shut, or once they die, then comes the judgment. The door doesn't open for the virgins who didn't have oil when the Lord showed up. Please, Lord, make it our joy, our privilege, and may we feel it to be our responsibility to share. May we want to share the gospel with people. Do that in our hearts, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. I hope this week you'll share the Lord with somebody.